Okay, we're talking about being anointed, And we saw last week that this concept of being anointed, or the Hebrew word is to mashak, was done during a ceremony. And anointing oil, not something that you would buy at ShopRite, but you know, ShopRite had to start putting security on olive oil because we have so many Pentecostals. Yes, I'm not joking. Okay. No security for beer or wine, but for olive oil, we're going to watch this carefully. Okay. So you would take this anointing oil that was made to be fragrant, and a thing or a person would be smeared with this, and the concept was, now this is consecrated to the Lord, this is used by the Lord for His purpose. So the tabernacle and all of the items of the tabernacle and then the temple, so those things were anointed. And it had the idea that God was present upon these things. Then people started getting anointed. First persons to get anointed were the priests, Aaron and his family. So God designed them to do certain things and told Moses, anoint them, mashak them. Okay? And they were. Later, kings were anointed. Okay? And so the prophet would go and anoint. We see seven different instances of kings being anointed. It's assumed that in all likelihood other kings were anointed, perhaps when there was no prophet in the nation, maybe they weren't, okay? But with the kings, when we saw last week that with Saul and with David, there was another aspect different than the priests, was that the Holy Spirit began to be operative in their life. So from the time Saul was anointed, he began to prophesy. God began to use him in supernatural ways that he had never used Saul before. David, when he was anointed, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that time. Okay? So, in the Old Testament, we see this correlation of this anointing ceremony with the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, there were others in the Old Testament that God used, and the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Spirit of the Lord helped them, all right? There was no anointing ceremony, but they were empowered by God to do. All right, and let's look at one of those verses we saw last week. Exodus 30, verse 30. Okay, so this is Aaron and his family. Exodus 30:30, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. All right, the anointing, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is always to do, not to be, not for your personal enjoyment. Okay, but it's to do something. In this case, it was to minister. When God anointed Saul, it says, I want you to anoint him, Samuel, so that he may deliver my people. Deliver. Okay. Always a verb. Okay. So the anointing is not just for your personal benefit. You're anointed to serve someone else. And that concept gets more fully clear in our new and better covenant that we'll see today. All right. So, in the Old Testament, so there were these things that God anointed, these people that were anointed. But then the prophets began to foretell, we've got to have a prophet better than Moses, a priest better than Aaron. We're gonna need a king better than David. And they began to prophesy and foretell about the anointed one. Alright, so there were little anointed ones, okay, small a, small o, but then there was going to be one singular one who would be Mashiach, and so he was known as the Messiah. And it's the same, that word Messiah comes from that anointed, so the anointed one. So Jesus of Nazareth became the anointed one. God sent him as his anointed, and he anointed him. So in Matthew 16, when Jesus was asking questions, who do men say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. You are the Mashiach. You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. All right. In our day and age, when people have two names, there's a given name and a family name, right? So the surname comes in many, many cultures. It comes from the family. Okay. The given name means that the parents decide it. Okay. Sometimes the grandparents tell the parents. Parents, you know you don't have to follow that if you don't want to. Okay. You'll have Armageddon on your hand, but anyway, they'll get over it. Okay. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. All right, this would be God the Father. Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So, there was not an anointing oil ceremony for Jesus. But when he was baptized in water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. That's when the miracles started. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Notice the verbs. Doing good, healing all. And I love this verse because Jesus came to undo what Satan had wrought in people's lives, meaning that what Satan had done was in no way the will of God, no way permitted by God, no way allowed by God. He was running rampant and ravaging people, and Jesus came to make it right. Now, Jesus goes on to say this much more clearly than, I mean, Peter's is kind of a summary statement, Acts 10:38. But in Luke 4:16, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Now, this was a tiny town. I've been there. It's a blip on the map. Okay. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, meaning he picked the text. Okay? He picked the text. And he went to Isaiah 61, a messianic prophecy. Okay? And here's what he read. And this is verbatim from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Upon me. Now, you'll see out through the series that the Holy Spirit upon you is His grace to serve. It is to help other people. All right. The Spirit upon, the Spirit in you, which the Bible speaks of, Jesus does, the New Testament, that is typically what's going to bless you. Okay. So there's the Holy Spirit for you, and there's the Holy Spirit on you for someone else. Okay. And please, we need both of those operations in our life. He came to Nazareth. All right, found this place. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has mashocked me. He has smeared His Holy Spirit on me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, everything got reset to naught. All right, your debts were forgiven. You got to go back to your land. Okay, so everything was restored by God. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What? You are the anointed one? You are the Mashacht of God? Yes. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Well, as they thought about it more, they got really, really mad. Okay, and wanted to kill him. All right. How many of you know, not everybody is ready for the truth. Okay. But go back here in the scripture here, back to when he is quoting from Isaiah 61. "Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me." So notice those two things go together, right? The anointing and the Spirit of the Lord. To do what? Verbs. Verbs. Actions. To preach the gospel to the poor. Good news to the poor. All right. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." So here, in all of these instances, the people that receive the action of Jesus don't stay the same way. Something changes. "To preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Next verse. "To proclaim liberty to the captives." Now, the implication is that there's liberty. You should be free. You can come out of jail. And recovery of sight to the blind, both of those are proclamations, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So those who are in chains, he breaks the chains. Amen. To proclaim, again, to say, the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. All right. So there was great effects for those who are poor, brokenhearted, captive, blind, and oppressed. Something changed. Now, the purpose of this series is not just to look at historical facts and to impress your friends on Monday morning. "Hey, do you ever heard of the Hebrew word mashak?" All right. No. It's about the anointing of God on your life. Okay. And if you've said, God use me," or "God, I would like to be used in such a way," that prayer has to go with compassion for people. Okay. If there's no compassion for others, I really doubt if God will anoint you more than he has already. All right. The anointing goes with compassion. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus, there's a phrase that he was moved with compassion. And he said, he was moved with compassion and he healed. All right. So that compassion for others is like the engine. It's a driver. Okay. And so if you want to be anointed, to be more anointed than your neighbor, God will absolutely not grant that. He won't help anoint you to do something outside of his agenda. Only that which is part of his agenda. Now, here's what he will do, is to say, "God, help me to say this better. God, help me. Lord, I'm going into this situation with my family, and Lord, there's this family meeting, and I'm not sure how many people know you. I'm not sure how many people really follow you. There may be some Christians in name that are there, but I mean, they're hung over from the night before. Okay, so that they're not exactly anointed. So, but God, this is going to be a really intense meeting. God, use my lips. God, think through my mind. God, I earnestly desire the best gifts of the Spirit to be present in that place." Amen? And what will he? He'll anoint you. He'll help you. because your heart is right. Amen. Okay, so please note the anointing that is on Jesus. We're going to see the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus. All right. What is the Spirit of the Lord that is upon the Church of Jesus? It's the same Spirit. The same Spirit. Paul uses that phrase a lot. Same Spirit. So one thing is that it helps us to see each other well is because the same Spirit who's in me is the same Spirit as in you. All right, so I'm not more special. You're not more special. But we're both special. And we can value one another because we have the same Spirit. We were baptized in the same name. All right. Aren't you glad when we do baptisms at Miracle Life, we don't have tribal lines? Okay, all of you people, you line up here and you're superior. So we'll baptize you first when the water's real nice and pure. No. We all get in the same water. We drink from the same cup. All right. Now we don't at Miracle Life have the same cup, but it all came from the same place. All right, there's not special juice for anybody else. All right, we eat from the same bread. All right, so the same Spirit that God used to anoint Jesus is the same Spirit that He poured out on Pentecost, is the same Spirit who rests upon us. Okay, now I was reminded when I see that Jesus is anointed to set people free. I'm reminded there was those of you who are Rhema Zambia graduates, Kenneth E. Hagin, who started Rhema, 1979 graduation, as the graduation was going, he had a prophecy. And he said, "What is the sound that I hear? These feet that are tramping, moving along." And one of the things that the Spirit of the Lord said, "Yea, these are those chosen of the Lord, called of God, equipped by His Spirit, yea, these are those who have been loosed from the bondage of the enemy and sent forth to set men free." Liberators. All right, so we who have been liberated, set free, now we are anointed by God, just like Jesus was, to set people free. Now, here's one of the things I obviously hope we distinguish, is Jesus is the Anointed One. Capital T, capital A, capital O. You are a or an anointed one. Small a, small a, small o. To your neighbor, you're small. Okay. So we are under Him. Okay. Now, John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest prophet of all the Old Covenant prophets, because the New Covenant had not been inaugurated yet, so he was still under that, you could say, regime or dispensation. So John, when he was talking about the plan of God for my life, and how many of you know John was full grade anointed, wasn't he? John the Baptist, right, to speak and to do and to prepare the way of the Lord. All right, but he in one time said, as he realized that God had raised Jesus up, he said, "You know, I must decrease my ministry that He may increase." Interesting. Okay. So the plan of God was to use John for a season. Okay. And in that discourse in John 3:34, so this is John talking about Jesus, it says, "For whom God has sent utters the words of God." So that was a sign that he was anointed, sign that he was sent by God. "He utters the words of God. He gives," this is to Jesus, "He gives the Spirit without measure." Without measure. All right. That phrase, "He gives the Spirit without measure," is reserved for the Anointed One. The Messiah. And so what we see in the very brief 3-year ministry of Jesus is Jesus operated in all 5-fold ministry gifts. He was the sent one. He was the apostle. He was the one who established, didn't he? He was the prophet who spoke the words of God. He was the healing evangelist with signs and wonders that drew crowds and drew people to follow him. How many know he was a good shepherd? He was a pastor. And he said, I am the good shepherd. And he was an incredibly gifted teacher. In fact, most times people would hear him, they would say, How do you learn to talk like that? We've never heard words like this. These words are different. All right. So he walked in all five ministry gifts. Now, when Paul was talking about gifts in the body, he asked a question. Are all apostles? Meaning of us. Are all apostles? Do all work miracles? The answer is no, 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 no. For all of the questions that he asked. Okay. So God gives Jesus the Spirit without measure. He gives us individually with measure. Collectively as the body of Christ, this is why we need one another. We need everybody to be anointed. We need everybody in their place. Jesus walked in all of the gifts of the Spirit, as listed in 1 Corinthians 12. 9 gifts, except for tongues and interpretation, because that had not yet been poured out upon the church. But in a way, Paul makes it clear, tongues and interpretation is prophecy. Okay, 1 + 1 = 2. All right, so when you have tongues and interpretation, it is literally the same as prophecy, and Jesus certainly walked in that. All right. So people, and I know I've heard people, I've been a charismatic a long, long time, 42 years, all right, and every now and then you hear some silly person, prideful person, to say, I have all ministry gifts. I operate in all 9 gifts of the Spirit. Somebody recently in the last 12 months said, I don't even prophesy anymore. God has downloaded everything to me on my spiritual hard drive, and I just pick and choose. What utter nonsense. I mean, it's just rubbish. Okay? And yet people in a room say, hallelujah, that's my prophet. Go deeper, deeper prophet. All right? Notice I use an American accent for ignorance. Okay. We don't want to make fun of people who can't say words right. Right? Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. I'm tempted, but I'm not going to do it. Okay. Okay. Pastor Moffat showed me something this week. Okay. All right. Ephesians 4. Okay, so Jesus anointed without measure, right? But to set people free. Our anointing is for what? To set people free. To undo what the devil has put on people or in people. To bring liberty. Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us. Each one of us. Okay, I know last time you told them they were small. But say, now tell the same people, you're graced. Okay. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ's empowerment. Okay? And then it talks in that passage about how gifts are used and functionality. But at the end of that passage, if you go to verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body... Okay, so individually, we are people, individuals, but we're linked together, joined together, by which every joint supplies. Every joint. So what that means is every person is important to the plan of God. According, now why do we all have a supply? According to the effective working by which every part does its share. All right, so I'm anointed with measure. I've got to do my share. What happens when we're doing our share together? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wow. So God made, just like He made our natural bodies to fight disease, my little grandson, did I tell you I had a grandson? Okay. People are stopping me in the grocery store. Pastor Walker, oh, we're so glad. Amen. All right. So in his little body, all the DNA for his big body is already there. Isn't that incredible? All right. So God put in the body of Christ, because of the Holy Spirit, that we have gifts, anointing, graces that will cause us to grow when we are doing, when we're doing our part. Okay? We mentioned this verse, 1 Corinthians 12:19. Are all apostles? Question mark. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? All right. So these are graces that are on different people. Sometimes in the first three there are offices. Okay, you could maybe make the argument workers of miracles, that's within the office of an evangelist. Okay. But the thing is, it's no, 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 and no. Okay. But was Jesus all of those? He was. Okay. So he was, you know, unlimited in his anointing. You and I have a limited. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Varied grace. All right. Now, so there are varying graces to serve, but in the New Testament, there, you know, this is just for teaching purposes, but arguably there are kind of three categories of the grace of God. All right. Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved. All right. So there is grace that saves you. Okay. That causes you to go from death to life. All right. That grace, Paul says, it is not of you. Otherwise you'd brag about it. Okay. So a person can't save a person. We need a savior, and he gives saving grace to make a dead person alive. Then there's a second part of grace that, again, grace is from God, and it is grace to stand. Grace to be a believer. Okay? So there's grace for you to grow up in Jesus. All right? There's grace for temptation. Amen? So the Bible says, you know, we all face temptation, and there is grace. Aren't you glad that there is? All right. Don't ever, ever make an excuse for giving into temptation. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm only human. That's not a Bible verse. I'm only human. That's not a Bible verse. Stop saying that. Okay? You are human. We realize that because you're walking on your feet and you're talking. Okay, we completely are able to distinguish you between a kudu or a leopard or whatever. So thanks for the clarification. You are human. I'm only human. Of course you're only human. All right. But you're a human who's born again. You're a human who's died to sin. You're a human that if the Holy Spirit lives in you, greater is He. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. Oh, but Pastor, there are witches around my house and they put a curse on me. Well, just break it in Jesus' name. Take 5 seconds and break it. Amen. 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 Greater is He. So there is grace to live. There is grace to walk out as a believer. All right. And then the New Testament talks about grace that is different than saving you, different than living, but it's grace that has been put upon your life, again, for other people. Okay, so you see a lot of these concepts are very linked to one another, right? Okay, so Paul put it this way. I just love this concept, but he told two churches in the New Testament, used the same phrase. He said, you've heard about the grace that was given to me for you. Grace given to me for you. I am so blown away at the grace that is given to other people for me, for my wife, for my family. As I have seen God use people in our life, I watched it this week, all right? And I got a text at 3:03 this morning from someone who has grace for me. Okay? And they've had grace for me for 35 years. And they keep dishing it out. So one of the things is I want to have a relationship with those kinds of people. All right? And the people that have been, you know, they just keep dispensing poison. All right? You know, like the song of old, love them from a distance. Okay? Grace given to me for you. Put 1 Peter 4:10 again up there. Each has received a gift. All right. Gift is the root word of grace. Gratis. Okay. So there's grace. What are you supposed to do with this kind of grace? Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. Okay. Now, in this context, if we kept reading, it was talking about grace actually to speak. Okay. And to that, the words that we would use, the Bible says they actually can be containers of grace. Don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which would minister grace, impart grace to the hearer. Aren't you glad that our words can be containers of God? Okay. So, each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another. Now, let me make note of something. So in the 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, talking about the gifts and these different ways that God uses people, marvelous, miraculous ways, in that passage, there's a statement where Paul says to the church at Corinth, let everything be done, so all these gifts, don't quench the Spirit, don't despise prophecy, but let everything be done decently and in order. Okay, that would be the opposite of chaos, right? Chaos. So again, I grew up in the charismatic world of the 1970s, and honestly, going to some prayer meetings or services or whatever, it would seem that, you know, that chaos was the goal. Okay, the crazier it is, the more just mayhem it is, then that's awesome. When I lived in South Africa in the 90s, they had been isolated from the world due to apartheid. And so the charismatic world, sadly, there were some churches, they just accepted everything. All right, there was one church very close to me, and so they had a ministry where you could roar like the Lion of Judah, roaring meetings. Why? What? I mean, that if it's not in the Bible, don't do that. No, we're roaring. Okay, the same church, they would have interpretive dance, so a lady would get up, not wearing enough clothes, and she would do dancing, and then you would interpret it. Okay. An 18-year-old guy who's unmarried would interpret it in a different way. So chaos and weirdness is not a sign of God's Spirit. Okay, let everything be done decently and in order. So let me just say this, because we don't talk about this much. But at Miracle Life, we've got Alpha, we've got connection groups, we've got zone meetings, we've got prayer meetings, we've got these big meetings that we have at times. If you feel that, I think God wants to say something or do something, run it by the leader of the meeting. Run it by, did you hear me? The leader of the meeting. Because at Miracle Life, every meeting, there is someone designated as a leader. They have a responsibility. Okay? So just say, hey, I just kind of have it in my heart. And people have done that with me on a Sunday morning. Hey, do you feel like the Lord would want to do A, B, C? Sometimes as pastors, we do that with each other. Okay? But what I'd ask you not to do is just to do it on your own. Okay? Now, I realize that might be a different culture for some folks because, again, when I grew up, 1970s, went to a church. Incredible. Actually, the pastor of that church just passed away this last week. Wonderful man of God, stayed in his house. And what they would do is during the song service, they would just take a pause and it would be completely quiet. And then anybody who wanted to say anything could say something. All right. No, I'm not saying that's wrong. It's not the way we do it at Miracle Life. Okay. So if you feel like I feel like God wants to minister to the sick, or I feel like we should pray for the nation, or blah, 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 whatever it might be in the connection group, please ask the leader. Please ask the leader. Please ask the leader. Okay. Because on a Sunday morning, I've had folks or pastors, and what I always do is I just kind of check the Spirit of God on the inside of me. Yes or no? But does that bear witness? And there's only been, I think, two occasions in 22 years where somebody said something and I go, I don't bear witness with that. So I'm responsible to the Lord, so we're not going to go that direction. And if I'm wrong, then God will hold me responsible and you don't. And so please don't use this, well, I need to obey the Lord. No, you need to obey the leader. You don't need to obey the Lord in that setting. Okay? Try driving 140 on Great East Road. You get pulled over and they say, what are you doing? Well, I just have to obey the Lord. Or the Lord told me. Well, good for you, but you're going to get a really big ticket for obeying the Lord. Okay. Is that good? All right. So, serve one another. And you've received this grace, you've received this gift. And I just want to finish with this phrase in 1 Peter, you can put it back up, 1 Peter 4:10. As good stewards. As good stewards. The older I get, the more I see how important stewardship is. Stewardship means you're not the owner. Sometimes people use this phrase, my ministry, my church, my anointing. Did Peter say that? No. This grace, this gift that you have, it's God's grace. And how many know the God who graces can repeal grace? He fired Saul. All right. The Spirit of God lifted from him for service. Okay. Now, so a steward means, first of all, I realize that what I have is not my own. What I have is not my own. Okay? So those of you who work in government or those kind of spaces, we have a word for you. You are a public servant. Public servant. So your service is for who? The public. Okay? So, if you oversee a budget for the public, where does the budget go? Oh, but I need to eat. Well, they pay you there, don't they? So eat. No, you just want to eat more. Okay? You want to spread it to all your relatives to eat. Okay, so that's being a bad steward. Because you don't realize that's what's been entrusted to you is not yours. Okay, now, that word is in the Bible that the other thing about being a steward is that God has trusted you. Wow. God has entrusted me. So that means that the grace, the gift, the anointing that I'm aware of, this is really holy. This is a big deal. So it's not mine, it's God's. He's entrusted me. So I'm, and what we see in the Bible, everything about stewardship means there is a reckoning. There is an accounting. There is an audit of how you used what God gave you. Now, what we see from stewardship in the Bible is that when God gives something, He expects what He gives to be used. To be used. Okay? Well, Pastor Walker, I know God has given me a grace to teach the Bible, and I'm a little bit mad at you because you've never invited me to preach on a Sunday morning. So what do you do about that? All right. Naomi, are there any openings at MKids right now, today, for teachers of the Bible? There you go. There's your answer right there. Okay. Huh. Well, I don't want to teach children. That means you've never taught children. I've taught children and adults. You know what's better? Children. No offense to present company, but way better. Way better. Okay? It's amazing. Half of what you tell them, they've never heard before. Okay? When I'm talking about the anointing, half of you are comparing it to Benny Hinn. No, it's okay. It's okay. But I mean, Benny Hinn has better insights, and maybe he does. Yeah. Use the grace God has given you. Use it. Use it. Put it into operation. All right. And then what we see from the Bible is when you use God's grace, it grows. It grows. You learn more about it. And then what God, the Bible is so, so clear about it, is He who's been faithful in little, I'll give you more grace. I'll entrust you with more. Oh, I want a double portion. You don't just get a double portion. You use what you have, let it grow. Amen. Well, I have a prayer ministry, or I really like to serve other people and to pray for them. Do you go to Connection Group? Well, no, I didn't really like the person there. Well, don't expect to grow in your grace if you don't even use what you have. Well, Pastor Walker, get back to the oil part. Get back to the oil. I like the oil part. As a good steward of something that God gave me, so I don't just hide it under a bushel, I don't just keep it. That employee got rebuked by the master, and actually what he was given to somebody else who was faithful. Okay? So use what you have and watch it grow in Jesus' name. You know, it's in Romans, when Paul talked about this in Romans, he, in chapter 12, it's weird. He said, those who, have teaching, teach. Those who are giving grace, give. And you're like, yeah, you just say the same thing for the same, what are you doing? He's saying, don't just hold it. Put it in practice. Get it going. Amen. And here's the cool thing about Miracle Life is there are a bazillion ways for you to put your gifts into operation. Okay. Every Connection Group is doing outreach. Okay, another avenue for you to put your gifts in operation. Amen? Tell your neighbor you're gifted. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you help us understand these matters, God. And we're grateful that we have examples in the Bible, Father, of people who were good stewards, who, Lord, they made it all the way to the end of their life in ministry, Father. We thank you for people like Paul, who not only was faithful to you, Lord, but, Lord, churches that he started outlived him. Men and women that he influenced outlived his life. And that the Church of Jesus continues to grow and expand, Father, today. And so, Father, help us to understand the anointing that's on our life. Father, help us to understand the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, to cooperate with him. And Father, I thank you for more and more compassion, God, and times where we are awakened and arrested by problems that are on the earth, Father, where people are oppressed, where people are bound, where people are broken. And Father, send us with the anointing of Jesus to undo those things. To undo those things, God. To undo those things. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Oh, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just with folks praying right now, this just came in my heart, is that there's some of you, you stand in the office of mom. You stand in the office of dad. And the Bible says fathers, mothers, and there's instruction, there are imperatives for you. But I want to encourage you right now. There is also, you need wisdom, a lot of it. But there is also grace for you. There's grace to raise a two-year-old. There's grace when they start primary school. There's grace when they're teenagers. Grace. Grace. So walk in that grace. Expect for God's grace. Ask for God to help you. Don't say, God, I can't do this. Because you can. Rather, just change your prayer to say, God, I help me to walk in your grace. God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. Be dependent on him. Oh, and watch him. Watch him pour out grace on your life. And I want to encourage you. If you didn't know the Lord for a while, or you didn't really walk in his ways, and now your kids are in their teens and you say, Pastor, it's too late. It's never too late to start. It's never too late to be graced. God redeems. God restores. He doesn't throw away what's broken. He doesn't throw away a bruised reed, or he doesn't chop off a smoldering wick. No. He restores. And so let him use you. Let him use you.